The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24/7. Today, believe it or not, is the 11th of January 2017. And go out to motivationmuscle.com and download the two free ebooks. Excuse me. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We have our good friend Bill Hinburn on here with us today. And go out and just look at all the material Bill and I have done since he's been here. He's been here now well over a year. There is just a library full of it, and I believe we've got one of the deepest vaults anywhere. But if you go out /category/podcast, you'll get anything you want out there, and I guarantee you, you'll find something you'll want to listen to. Also, too, I talked about Patreon. We are looking for donations to the show. If you'd like to participate, you can go out to motivationmuscle.com, click right on Patreon. It'll take you to right where you got to go, and you can donate whatever you'd like to the show. If you don't want it, that's okay too. But we are going through major growing pains, which is great. But right now things are tight, and we are trying to build other processes of both sites to make everything really, really churn. So if you're going to stay with us, we'd appreciate anything you could do, but it doesn't matter either way. You're still and will always be welcome in my family. And I thank you for anything that you'd contribute, obviously. And right now, we're going to bring in Bill. But before we do, I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. And the topic today is going to be interesting, which it always is. We're going to talk about Thomas Inch. So, Bill's a strength historian, strength athlete, and he's dedicated to over 50 years of teaching the value of strength and physical culture. And he is the owner of the world-famous SuperStrengthTraining.com website, and that's www.SuperStrengthTraining.com. Bill, Happy New Year and welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much, Eric. I'm glad to be here.
And we're glad you're here. So, anything I missed? Lay it out. Okay.
You did good.
Hey, great way to start the new year. I want to do good all the time. Thomas Inch is a very interesting individual, obviously. I have an Inch dumbbell here. Many of us do. Many of our friends in the business do. But let's go a little bit deeper on Thomas Inch than just the Inch dumbbell, if you would, please.
Okay. When you talk about old-time strongmen, especially the performers.
Yep.
Many of them were circus performers, vaudeville, stage performers, etc. They were entertainers. They were during the same era as magicians, such as the great Harry Houdini. Mm-hmm. They used the same stages with the same trap doors, hidden wires, big curtains, special lighting, etc. They were entertainers, mm-hmm. Okay? They were not competitors as far as the record books necessarily. They were competitors as far as offering huge rewards for anybody that felt that they could duplicate or surpass their pet feats of strength.
Yep.
They used trap doors, hidden wires, smoke and mirrors to provide the desired effect. They would take, for example, decks of playing cards, and sometimes they would bake them in an oven to make them easier to tear.
Mm-hmm.
The metal of chains were sometimes annealed and with heat to remove their temper and make them softer and therefore easier to break. In fact, sometimes a link made of clay was inserted somewhere in the chain.
Interesting.
That only the strong man would know.
Mm-hmm. And,
it'd be easier for him to snap the chain, obviously, or even bite through it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were there to entertain, and that's how they earned their living. Now, Thomas Inch was born on December 27th, 1881 in Scarborough, England.
Yep.
After becoming Britain's strongest youth at 16 years of age and the first official Britain's strongest man in 1910, Thomas Inch was aptly nicknamed the Scarborough Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
He struck up a friendship with the Attila brothers and the Saxon brothers, after which he set out to build a physical culture empire as large as that of the famous bodybuilder Eugen Sandow.
Wow.
He often talked with the great Arthur Saxon and gained a great deal of practical knowledge regarding weight training methods. His physical culture mail order empire at the time soon became the largest of its kind in the world.
Hey, Bill, I want to just say one thing. When you think about that back that in that time frame, okay, of the world, to think that he could have mail order, that really he built an empire out of, I mean, right there he's ahead of his time in my opinion. Obviously, either he had very smart people around him or he was very bright and had smart people around him and pulled that off, because think about that. I mean, you've been in the mail order business for years. And obviously it was much more established, but you and I have talked about, you know, it's a very hard business and, you know, people want their product, they want it now, they want it in good condition. What if something happens to it or it's late? I mean, I think that's incredible for that time frame in history that this guy could be so successful with a mail order business. I give him two thumbs up on that.
Well, the thing is, he had over 120 employees on staff with over 50 typists distributing his bodybuilding courses of instruction and equipment all over Europe. I've got some of his original courses.
Oh, real? Wow.
And they're hand typed, and he had like a stationery. And some of the letters, I have some of the letters that are autographed, some of the courses, some of the books. I stock four of his books that were popular back in the day around 1910.
Yep.
I remember, just to give you a perspective, the great Earl Lederman,
yep,
who was one of the famous muscle by mail peddlers here in the 20s. He had 40 girls that did nothing but open mail.
Yeah, wow.
That's all they did all day.
Wow.
So you have to understand, to give a perspective, but he was famous. I mean, this is why he had to constantly perform to keep his name out there, just like the Hollywood people do or whatever. You know,
you hear
good things or bad things, doesn't make any difference as long as people are constantly hearing your name.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
He traveled far and wide giving strength exhibitions and taking on all challengers, including a couple of the great group, Ron Madison and William Caswell.
Yep.
Thomas Inch became synonymous with overhead lifts, bent pressing especially, his challenge dumbbell, and his little-known challenge gripper. Even though he promoted chest expanders and free exercises, as part of his special training instruction, he always maintained that the lifting of heavy weights was far superior.
I agree with that. I've got a picture of him somewhere. I remember there was a gentleman on a bike, and he had that guy on his bike with one arm, straight up in the air. Now, I mean, I know that these guys used to rig things, as we might say. Something like that, would you say that's a true picture? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, even on my website, my webpage for Thomas Inch,
yeah,
I show him hoisting up overhead with two ladies on a bar on each end, bar, and they're holding on to a bar. I would guess, let's say this, that the gals weigh maybe 110 pounds apiece.
Sure.
Okay. And I think I'm lowballing the figure, but nevertheless, that's, let's say 200 pounds. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's got a kettlebell at his feet. He's not lifting it, but who knows? Maybe he's in the process of doing a two hands anyhow. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
And there are several other photographs of him doing that. But you know, you just have to take in consideration what he was for the time. You know, for example, many people ask me, you know, who started manufacturing adjustable plate loading barbells and dumbbells?
Yep.
Well, in Europe, which was before the mass production of barbells and dumbbells and kettlebells here by Alan Calvert. Alan Calvert started in 1902.
Yep.
It was Thomas Inch in Europe that was the first to introduce adjustable plate loading barbells and dumbbells.
Yeah.
Yep. He was the first to promote the use of weight training for developing great strength and a well-developed, you know, physique.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the first to promote the value of holding heavy weights overhead for long periods in preparation for personal records and lifting competitions. You've heard of doing supports.
Sure.
Okay. With a power rack or whatever, holding it there. Ever, you know, you set the pins, mm-hmm. and you got the power there, and you get underneath. Mm-hmm. And even if you can take it an inch off the pins,
yep.
and just support it, heavyweight supports, you know, he was an advocate of that. Now, this is over 100 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He was the first to promote weight training for the improvement of athletic performance.
Yep. Yep.
He was the first to promote the use of weight training to correct physical abnormalities. He was the first to promote the use of weight training for remedial purposes, such as the strengthening of weak hearts.
Yeah. Yep. You know, Bill, one thing, too, that was very interesting. You know, we know that he was very ahead of his time. You know, we can go back to the women hanging off the bar that he's pressing up. All right, let's say they are 100, 110 pounds apiece. Even in today's world, a 200 to 220 pound one arm press with that type of weight is pretty it's pretty impressive. And when you're talking, you know, let's say early 1900s, 1920s, whatever it was when he was pulling that stuff off, that to me tells you something right there. And I think that this guy was not only way ahead of his time. I mean, I've got the book from you. I don't know where it is. I've been trying to find it. It's probably buried in my library of stuff. But, I mean, I've read plenty about him. And I think for the time frame alone, you talk about not only an efficient lifter but a powerful lifter, because you and I both know today things are a lot different. Unless you're an Olympic lifter or some type of strongman or something, let's just use the one lift. How many people are really doing anything heavy overhead anymore? That's the question, all right? And the answer is probably not too many. We know that a lot of this stuff has been relegated to the bench press. Nothing wrong with it, but I still like the old-fashioned stuff where flat on your back, no arch, no support, basically, as they call it now, raw. What is very impressive about Inch, like I'll say, not only that picture where I see he's picking that gentleman up who's sitting on a bicycle, so he's got hold of the frame of the bike and he's pressing it. That, to me, man, is definitely real strength. So comment on any of that or whatever else you got, my friend.
Well, it's true. You have what is left. Olympic lifting is essentially two lifts.
Yep.
Okay, fine. But it's not very popular here in the United States. You have powerlifting. And with powerlifting, you don't have an overhead lift. Okay, you've got mm-hmm. the deadlift, the squat, and the bench press. Okay, so there's no overhead lifting.
Yep.
That, you know, whatever is put before the people is what they're going to define, you know, weightlifting. But there are far more different lifts. My gosh, there's you get into some of these clubs that have, you know, many of the odd lifts. You have a
yeah.
Herman Horner lift, you know, and you've
yep.
got oh, gosh. Well, like yourself, you were talking the other day about doing Jefferson lifts.
Yep.
Yes, the average individual, even the you know that weight trains, he don't know what the Jefferson lift is. He doesn't know Jefferson's first name. He doesn't
right.
know who he is.
Right.
Who invented it, or anything like that. Okay.
Yep.
And there are other lifts that are named for you know for people you know like that. As far as lifting goes, to perpetuate, like I said earlier, the old-time strongmen to perpetuate their name, get their name out there constantly, and they would get more engagements for performing, as well as the mail order business, popularity, and advertising. Inch came up with a pet lift.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Something that he could challenge people and put money on the barrel head and say, look, can you do this? You can mm-hmm. take the money.
Mm-hmm.
So he came and created his challenge dumbbells. He had four of them, four Thomas Inch dumbbells.
Okay.
Now, they weren't all considered challenge dumbbell, that the heavier one was. There were four, possibly five. But no one's really sure. From a period of 1897 to 1904 is when they really flourished. Okay.
Yep.
Most of the historical information on Thomas Inch and his dumbbells is written up in the strength magazines and newspapers of the day. I've got several of them. These have been summarized in later writings, some now published on the internet. But for those with a serious interest in Thomas Inch, it would be advised to go back to the original source materials when drawing any conclusions. In other words, there's a lot of, the people can argue whether, you know, these lifts actually occurred with the weight depicted, you know, because like I say, he's got, he had several bells.
Yeah.
Two of the, what I call the middleweight Thomas Inch dumbbells is 144-pound and 153-pound dumbbell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the one that he was – and these are still – they exist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you have three of the four. The two that I just mentioned, 144, the 153, and I'll get to the famous challenge bell, which is the heaviest, the 172-pound 9-ounce bell. All
yep.
three of these bells are still in existence. I know who has them. Okay. And they have a very colorful history, you know, behind them. Of all the Thomas Inch dumbbells, his name is perpetuated to this day in the world of strength and bodybuilding by his most famous, and that is the 172-pound 9-ounce
yep.
Thomas Inch unliftable challenge dumbbell, nicknamed Old 172.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I know, I've heard about the 172, the last I had read, this was a long time ago, was that Kim Wood owned it. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That was the last thing I ever heard about ownership of that dumbbell, which is pretty incredible. And I know for a fact, and I'll send it right back to you, there were some different versions as far as weight with that dumbbell that I had read. Is that true, Bill? Like, they were saying some was like maybe around 176 had been said, 175, and I know what the actual one truly weighed, but was that true? Some of the stuff that I read, there were other ones out there that were a little heavier that were produced?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, Thomas Inch never advertised that he had one any heavier than the 172.
Okay.
Okay. The other ones, now keep in mind, they're all approximately the same size as you look at them. Okay. So you see where there could be a switch.
Sure.
A lot of people have accused him of doing that because, and I'll get to it later as far as the ability to lift them. Okay. The overall length of the, and I'm talking about the genuine original challenge dumbbell, the 172.
Yep.
I have tried to pick it up. I've seen it. I have my hands on it. Okay. It has a very narrow handle, number one. It's 4 inches.
That's crazy.
It's thick.
Yeah.
Yep. It's 2.4 inches. Okay.
Yep.
Which is like 2 3/8.
That's right.
2 3/8 inches. Okay.
Yep.
The overall length is 21 inches. The sphere diameter is 8.5 inches.
Unreal.
They're solid spheres, okay?
Yep.
The circumference is 26.7 inches. And the thing to keep in mind here is when people say, yeah, I'm lifting my inch dumbbell, my inch chain, wait a second. You're lifting a replica.
Yeah, yeah.
Many of the replicas, and there used to be a foundry that manufactured them. I think they went out of business. I think it's Stavis or something.
Yep.
But anyway, the handle was slightly thicker.
Yep.
So you're comparing oranges to apples. It's not the replica. I mean, if you're going to lift and you're going to compete, you have to use the same barbell. Can you imagine Olympic competition and everybody bringing their own barbell? No,
sure.
That's not going to fly.
Okay? Yeah, it's not going to happen. Nope.
And the mysterious thing about this bell, and I believe all of them, is they have a hole in the center of the handle.
That's so I read. Yep.
And this the challenge dumbbell that I have seen and had my hands on, the hole was blind. In other words, it didn't go all the way through the handle.
Right.
It is suspected that because of the weight of the dumbbell, it's extremely difficult to lift, partly due to its weight, but primarily because the handle is very thick in diameter.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's very short in length. Therefore, unless you have very long fingers, which is an advantage, so you got long hooks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the handle is very short, so if you have narrow hands, if you got a real wide hand, believe me, and I don't have a super wide hand, but I'll tell you, my hand covered that handle completely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If my hand was any wider, you know, now you have another problem.
Yep.
The biggest problem with it isn't so much your strength, your back, or whatever. It's the fact that when you grab that thick handle.
Yep.
And my fingers are not that long. You try to lift it, it tends to roll right out of your fingers.
Oh, yeah.
The key, I have been told by people who have lifted it, is your thumb.
Yep.
If you've got a long thumb and an especially strong thumb, you can keep it from rolling out. Now, that blind hole, there have been numerous reports that Inch would place a nail or a specially designed ring with a peg.
Yep.
A peg sticking out. He would stick that in that hole, you know, on the QT, and it would allow him to keep it from rolling.
Right.
But the story behind it, Inch, you know, everybody commented about, why do you have such a thick handle there, Tom? How come is it so short? He says, well, you know, when I wanted to have this special dumbbell cast, I gave them the dimensions at the foundry, but when I went to pick it up, the handle was thicker and shorter than I wanted. But I thought, well, I'll work with it, and I'll specialize in this particular lift. You know,
yep.
Very innocent statement, but
sure.
Who knows? It could have been intentional.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what. Not to interrupt you, but you know, sure. I've got one when Randall Strassen was putting them out many years ago through Iron Mine. I've never measured it. Now, I've pulled that thing with nothing, maybe 2 inches off the ground, and that was it.
Right.
I would have liked to obviously done more, but you know, Bill, there's only so many things you can do when you're doing other things, and that is going to be a priority next year, without a doubt, to get that thing off the ground. And I'd love to be able to pull that with 2 hands and press it overhead, but that's another big thing, like the toys I like to play with, you got to work with. But here's what it is. I mean, I assume that's 2 3/8. I've never measured it. I have read, and I'm sure Randy wouldn't put anything out that wasn't, you know, where it should be. But I've also read articles that said that handle at times was 2.5. Now, I got a friend of mine who's quite a welder, and this guy's been turning wrenches since he's 10 years old. And he was here one day, and I said, why don't you give that thing a shot? See if he can just pull it. Because I figured he might be able to do that just because of the volume of work he does. I mean, you know, the wrenches, the torches, the this, the that. I mean, this is a guy that is very, very strong. He couldn't even move that thing, man. He can, and he's got a big hand. I think it's even bigger than mine. He could not get that thing, and that spun on him, too. To get that off the ground. I was very surprised. I thought he'd at least move it a little bit. But, you know, I have heard reports of 2.5, too. I'll tell you my thing with mine in there. I mean, Would it be a hell of a thing to work with right now? Yeah. Is it a necessity? No. But I'm telling you, when people walk in, and I've got some of the real I heard this rumor when I purchased these that I've got some of the original York Globe dumbbells. I think they start at 80, 90, and 100. And those are sitting on the floor with the Thomas Inch. And let me tell you, I mean, when you walk into my garage, you're going to be, like, stunned anyways. But if you look down real quick and see that, that's the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, what the hell is that dumbbell there? And I'm like, well, here's the history of it, and on and on. A friend of mine owns one, Bill, and he likes it so much. Now, he's married and everything. He's got a nice home. Do you know that thing's sitting on the floor right next to his fireplace? It's just like a piece of the mantle, only down below. Yeah, I mean, go ahead. I didn't mean to take thunder from...
I've talked to a lot of guys that have their Milo globular duplex and triplex bells and their kettlebells sitting right by the fireplace.
Absolutely.
You know? They're a conversation piece because people look at that and they just, wow, what, you know, they've never seen it. You're not going to walk into a sporting goods store and, come up.
No. And one last thing, and then we'll get right back into this, is I don't know. I think you and I might have talked about this before, and you maybe have heard it. This was always a rumor I had heard. I don't know what gym it was in. I don't know if it was up in Oregon or what, but Ken Patera had his favorite York bar that he used in this gym to do his shrugs, high pulls, whatever. And they said he shrugged the bar one night, and I guess it was well over 700. They said he shrugged that bar so hard, he bent a York. And we're talking back probably in the 60s or 70s. I'm not saying the quality's better or less now, but I think the quality back then, I might tilt more that way because I have a couple old Circa York bars from the late 60s, and I have a black oxide bar that I believe I was told they didn't make for very long. For everybody that's not familiar with it, it is black. It's more of a powerlifting bar because it's the only bar I've ever seen with knurling in the center that is a York bar. I had heard that somebody either they asked if they could have it or they bought it, and I had heard one time, and that's just something I do. They said they took that bar and literally put it on a living room wall. They were that impressed with it. Have you ever heard anything like that? I'm sure somebody else might have, but I had heard that years ago.
Well, I've heard people do some strange stuff with equipment. You know, I mean, it's a real eye catcher, a real conversation piece. What the hell is the Olympic bar doing on your living room wall? The only thing that would be far, far stranger than that is that if it was on your bedroom wall over your headboard.
Jesus, I hope the thing doesn't let go. It'll kill you.
If anything ever came off the wall, good night.
You'd be French toast. That was it. Thomas Inch, I want to just ask you this quickly before we finish up with him. How would you rate him of the strong men of that era? I mean, you've published stuff. You're very well know more than most people, I'm sure, out there. You're very well versed with it. Was Thomas Inch somebody that you would put up there with some of the greats, or where does he fit in the Bill Hinburn catalog of people?
Well, the whole thing, I would put him up there as far as a performer.
Yeah.
One of the greatest.
Okay.
No
All
doubt
right.
about it. To
okay.
entertain you, yeah,
yep.
absolutely. Just like I would put Harry Houdini,
yeah.
or I would put modern day David Blaine.
Yep.
If you've ever watched David Blaine, I mean,
sure.
people scratch their head, can't figure out how in the world he does that stuff. Well, everybody knows that there's something behind it, but people love to be fooled.
Yeah.
People love, how do you get your kicks? How do you get your rush? You know, well, this is something that people really enjoy.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the fact that he had these other dumbbells that from – you know, standing there and looking at it, you can't tell them apart. They were different weights. Some of them were hollow, and they weighed differently, okay?
Sure.
If it weren't for that, then I would say, yeah, fantastic. But it sounds to me like there was probably some chicanery going on, see?
Yep.
And for example, Inch claimed that during his lifetime, he never encountered anybody who was able to lift the challenge dumbbell over his head, and only one who was able to even raise it off the floor. In modern days, in modern era, there's never been anybody that could take it to the above the shoulder, except I think Bill Kazmaier
was. Yep.
Continental style, which it allows for it to touch the body on the way up. Okay.
Yep.
That's what a continental means. You're touching the body. You know, because otherwise you're not supposed to do that. The dumbbell has a history from the time, and I'm just speaking with the challenge dumbbell, the heaviest one. It's had five different owners, including Thomas Inch.
Yep.
It went from Thomas Inch to Reg Park. Now, Reg Park admitted that he could not get it off the floor.
Wow.
Okay, but yeah. You have to understand something. If you, for example, practice,
yep,
and you, because there's guys that can pick up two replicas. I always like to put in that word replica.
Jed Johnson for one. Yep.
Pick up two of them and walk.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So you see, and Reg Park was no slouch.
No, not at all.
The first bodybuilder and second man to bench 500 pounds. But benching is not lifting off the floor. It's not a grip feat.
Yep.
You follow me?
Absolutely.
It's like these captains of crush grippers.
Yep.
Okay? You have to train to a particular feat.
Yep.
You know, a guy can be great with a gripper but can't tear a phone book.
That's right.
And vice versa. You know, you see girls do the phone book routine.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
And I'm not knocking it or belittling it, because not everybody can pick up a New York phone book and tear it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
But it went from Thomas Inch to Reg Park. And then it went to a guy by the name of Bertie Lightfoot. And then it went to David Prowse.
Okay.
Who everybody is familiar with, whether they know it or not. He was a British bodybuilder, weightlifter, and actor, is famous for portraying Darth Vader in the Star Wars.
Yep.
And then after that, by the way, David Prowse, when he got it, okay, he lifted it, I think it was either out of the trunk of a car or, can't remember, but when he lifted it,
yep,
with his hand, it was in a crate.
Wow.
He picked up the – he claimed – because I had breakfast with him one morning.
Yep.
He lifted the inch – the original inch challenge dumbbell in the crate, lifted up the crate with it.
That's awesome.
He didn't know it was attached to the, to the crate.
Yep.
That's what claimed. Okay. And then, of course, it went from Prowse to, like you said earlier, Kim Wood.
Okay. All right.
And that's where I saw it.
Yep.
If you want to know more about – Thomas Inch and everything, and watch him lift what he claims is his famous challenge dumbbell. You can go on YouTube and you can find it.
Yep.
So I really don't know. That dumbbell on there doesn't look like the original.
No. No, I've watched that.
So I'm not sure what it is. He has a guy that tries to lift it, but, you know, yeah, who's paying you, you know?
Yeah.
The guy says, if Inch tells him, hey, I want you to go there and try to lift it. But don't lift it. I'm paying you. So, you know, the famous – this is a good commentary. The famous strongman, Edward Aston, which was also – he was the Britain's strongest man after Thomas Inch. He went on stage to compete. They had a contest, lifting the Inch dumbbell. And
sure.
He suspected that Inch was pulling a switcheroo with the dumbbells. So before the contest, he asked Thomas Inch, which dumbbell is it? Because he's looking at it on the floor. And Inch replied, the dumbbell we're using tonight.
I like that. Yep. Hey, you know something? Regardless, you got to be one hell of a strong man to do what he did. I'm not into the Houdini stuff like that, but... Well, I am. I liked what Houdini did, but, you know, everybody would say, well, they cheated. Well... That's up to you to discern that. I like honesty. Let me tell you, but I'm not gonna say either way with Inch, but I'll tell you this. The guy was definitely strong. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, yeah.
And really, to be perfectly objective about this whole thing, there are four dumbbells that existed, okay, and possibly five, but nobody can give me a weight or the description of the fifth one. There was an 80-pound, which, to the best of my knowledge, nobody knows where it's at or even if it still exists. The 144, the 153, and the 172-pound 9-ounce, all three of those exist.
Yep.
I know where they're at, okay?
Yep.
Let's take the 144. Let's just take that one. That's the lightest one of the three that exists.
It's a beast.
Try to lift it.
Exactly.
And if I'm not saying that's the one that he's using in the film, but that was one of the bells that he used. I mean, it's considerably lighter, but okay, for the average individual, you think the average individual can get 144 pound with the same type handle?
No, I'll tell you what, the average individual, let's just talk average, they'd be lucky if they could pick a 50-pound dumbbell up.
Well, that's it. Your back, your ability to lift something off the floor, you can have a strong back, but the weakest link is your grip.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, it's
lift stones and all sorts of stuff like that. You got to have catcher's mitts, you know, and those hands have to be, unless you're wearing gloves, those hands have to be tough.
They got to be tough, and I'll tell you another thing a lot of people probably don't realize is I get them big time. You're going to get a lot of calluses, and the worst thing you want to do is ever rip a callus when you're training, because I don't care how tough you are. Let me tell you something, and I'm sure you and a lot of the other people out there can identify with this. It's like a piece of meat coming off your hand, and there's two things I do all the time. Well, there's one thing I always have in my garage. Number one, if I get something, I will file them down because I don't want them ripping. I very rarely have had that happen, but it's not a pleasant experience. And number two, I've said this on a few shows, always have super glue in your garage because I've torn them and I've super glued them and I was able to train with them. Now, you know, people say, well, why would you do that? Well, number one, I don't want to rip a big hole out of my hand. And number two, I want to be able to continue training. So these little things, you know, I think people think if you take good care of your feet or your hands, you know, that's like what women do. I got news for you as a lifter. You better take good care of your hands and feet because think about everything that you're doing is going through your feet all the way up. Your hands, think about how vital your hands are, how they connect right to your central nervous system, to your brain. Go out and grip something real hard. Tell me what's going on. There's a billion calculations going on in your head at that point because the way I do things is I treat it like a threat to me, the way I'll twist the bar with my hands, the way I'll grab down on it as hard as I can. I'll take my fingers individually and push them into it. I want to alert myself that something's going on here, and we got to pump as much power through our veins, our muscles, our ligaments, and tendons to either press it, push it, or pull it, as I say. And that's very, very important. But, Bill, you got it right on the nose. I will tell you as a stone lifter, and I learned this a lot the hard way too, your hands, everything, the hands, wrists, forearms, obviously biceps, because we all know the story with tears and all that, are absolutely vital. I mean, I'm not ever going to discount your hip girdle, your shoulder girdle, but here's the deal, and many of the guys that have been on here will tell you this who are experienced stone lifters. If your fingers are weak, I want to repeat this again. If your fingers are weak, I'm going to tell you right now, maybe you pick that thing up and get it to your lap, but you sure as hell aren't going to stand up with it and carry it. And if you do, you're going to drop it quickly. And why? The failure point is in your fingers. Your fingers will let you down every time. So if you want to lift a Thomas Inch or stones or anything of that magnitude, please work your fingers, your hands, your wrists, your forearms, especially your biceps. And don't let anybody tell you that don't bother wasting your time on them. I'm sitting here right now as an example. I'm not saying it would or would not happen if I had worked them more directly, but I'm going to tell you right now, I've learned, I feel, from my mistakes, and I paid for it. So I'm telling all of you, put the time in there and maybe some other things, you know, people tell me, well, I deadlift. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, deadlifting is not going to be enough to carry a stone. I don't care if you deadlift 800 pounds. You can think I'm full of shit, but I'm not. Bill, summarize anything you want. I'll leave it there, and we'll get ready for our next outing, please.
Sure. Again, my name is Bill Hinburn. I've been collecting, writing, publishing, distributing bodybuilding, weightlifting, strength training, etc., books, courses, magazines for nearly 50 years through my catalog and now the internet. Go to my website at www.superstrengthtraining.com. Be sure to sign up for my free daily newsletter. It gives a lot of valuable information. It's absolutely free. There's secrets, biographies, inspiration. Also, if you like to look the touchy-feely old-time paper catalog that I've been sending out for nearly 50 years, 24 pages, absolutely free, commonly referred to as the weightlifter's wish list. Thank you very much, Eric.
Anytime, Bill. It's a pleasure to have you on, and we'll have a – we had a little – just to let everybody know, we had some major technical difficulties the first 20 minutes of the show, and we'll get into more with this, but obviously excellence as usual here. There was something I was going to say, too. Well, I'll think of it. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Obviously, we know it's almost the middle. We're getting to the middle of January. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. As I said in the beginning, look at the vault Bill and I have together and all the other shows out there. Absolutely incredible. There's no way you cannot improve and get strong off of Motivation Muscle. I'm telling you right now, I could tell you some of the things that was said to me just yesterday by two people. That was absolutely incredible. And we're going to keep going, and we're going to keep going. That's what we're going to do. That's what we want to do. Just to let everybody know, this is what I didn't want to forget to say. Bill's show will be up tomorrow at some point. I believe it'll probably be late morning because we have Paul Firepower Gray on here around 9 o'clock. So that will be at least an hour show probably, or a little bit under. And we'll do that. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher and give us a 5-star review. Everybody has. We appreciate that. If you got it in your car, we're all over all these directories. We're on Google Play Music. Go out to AHA. We're in that directory. If you have the means to get podcasts in your car that way, you can get us on there. We're on 24/7. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Bill and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. And I'll leave you with a bunch of things here. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give inspirational words. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, squat it, push it, pull it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoosa Steel Stone Crusher says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We'll be saying that for the next 28 years, my friend. Also, too, Frank Klein, who was the greatest marketing/business professor I had in college. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. And John Ridge, my chiropractor for many years, and who was like a father figure to me after my dad died many years before I met John, and we lost John almost 3 years to cancer. I used to go and see him almost every Friday, and he would always say not only to me and every patient, he'd walk him to the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that and not smile, because if you don't smile, I don't know, there's something not right for sure. John would be very pleased. I've kept his legacy going. And I honor those three men, and they were very, very big, and they always will be big in my life. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to kick the thing in. Join our family. Join our revolution. Bill Hinburn, Happy New Year. Honor to have you on, and we're going to have a big, big year this year, my friend.
Thank you very kindly, Eric. Same to you. Happy New Year, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. So we'll have Bill on. Like I said, if we don't have him on again before the end of the month, we will have him on in early February. It's like I've been trying to tell everyone. There's a lot of things going on here. We will get more down to scheduling like we used to have. But right now, the business has my full attention. And we are in the process of doing some monster things, and I can't wait to tell you as things start happening. And we should find out next week for sure about one of the biggest announcements ever with the whole Motivation, FBC, family structure, everything. So everyone, have a great week. We will talk to you soon. And, you know, as Les Brown says, you'll have greatness in you. But we say to you, not only do we have your back, but we stand with you all the way. Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.